Hey, Bills fans, welcome into the Bills Wire podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Uhas. Joining me today is Justin Amello from the Titans Wire to kind of preview Sunday's game in Orchard Park. Justin also writes for the Draft Wire. Does a lot of great stuff for the NFL draft, so make sure you follow him at JustinM_NFL. Justin, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Jeremy. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So we just want to preview this matchup Sunday, Bills and Titans. The Titans are having a fantastic start to their year, coming off beating the Eagles last week. Just kind of your overall thoughts on how they've played thus far to start the 2018 campaign.
Yeah, I mean, I think each week has gotten a little bit better. You know, week one was a bit of a letdown and a really weird game against the Dolphins, you know, the longest game in NFL history with two different weather delays there. They dropped that one, and it was a game a lot of Titans fans I know were expecting to win. It was a bit of a disappointing start, you know, as is with NFL fan bases, spirits dampened in a hurry. But came back the following week, got a win against Houston. That was a big one, you know, without Marcus Mariota, Blaine Gabbert had to start that game, and they found a way to pull it out. Come back the following week, travel to Jacksonville. You know, again, Gabbert starts, gets knocked out in the first quarter. Mariota forced into the game, finds a way to win it on the road while barely having feeling in most of his fingers as a result of that ulnar nerve injury he suffered against Miami. And then last weekend, I mean, what a massive emotional win for them. I mean, at home, probably one of the greatest games I've ever seen them play in that stadium. Just a really, really big come-from-behind win, you know, down 17-3 in the third quarter against the defending Super Bowl champions. One of Mariota's best performances. One of the best games I've ever seen him play, for sure. Corey Davis had a huge game as well, a bit of a coming out performance for him. Definitely the best game of his young career. So coming off a really, really big emotional win, what they have to do this weekend is make sure this isn't a trap game, to be honest with you. You know, they're starting to get a bit of that national love that a lot of people, you know, a lot of fans complain that they don't get. Starting to get a bit of that this week, some recognition for that win over Philly in overtime. So what they have to do this weekend is show that respect is warranted and deserved, and they got to keep it up. It's not a game they can drop. To be honest with you, I don't even think it's a game that they can win in a close contest. I think that'll leave a lot of people feeling like, I'm not sure if I believe in this team quite yet. If they want to have that respect and continue, they're going to have to go ahead and win this game and win it in a convincing fashion, to be honest.
One of the things that I've noticed about the Titans is just kind of looking at their games, you kind of reviewed each one of them here to start the season, is their defense. They're rated sixth right now. Mike Vrabel, obviously, you know, former defender himself and good player in the league. What has kind of he brought to this defense, and guys like Casey in the middle and having Arakpo? It's just a formidable front, and something the Bills have struggled with is pass protection. I could see that being a problem for them this week, and Josh Allen too, not getting rid of the ball quickly here at certain times. So it looks like a recipe not in Buffalo's favor for sure.
Yeah, I think, you know, Vrabel's done a fantastic job thus far. Credit new defensive coordinator Dean Pease as well. They've sort of brought a gritty attitude to this defense, a sort of never back down, never give up attitude that they've been embodying so far in the first quarter of the season. Been very impressed with their bend but don't break attitude. You know, they have given up some big plays through the air. You know, week one against Miami, Kenny Stills got behind Malcolm Butler for a long TD. Will Fuller did the same in week two. Week three was obviously a fantastic performance, only allowing 9 points against Jacksonville. I mean, even against Philly, I would say against an offense of that magnitude, giving up 23 points in over five quarters of play, I thought was a pretty solid performance. One amazing stat that I don't think enough people are talking about regarding this defense is that they haven't given up a point in the first quarter yet. I think that's pretty phenomenal. Not a single point scored in the fourth quarter by the opposing offense. So very impressive. I expect to see another good performance this Sunday. As you mentioned, you know, Buffalo's offensive line has had some struggles up front. Obviously, Josh Allen, being a rookie quarterback, is, you know, still going through his bumps and bruises, taking his little dings. You mentioned Casey in the middle. You know, I'm comfortable saying he's off to the best start of his career. And this is a guy who's obviously played at a high level throughout the majority of his career, but I think he's off to the best start he's ever he's playing at the highest level I've ever seen him play at throughout the first 4 weeks. You know, I think NFL.com, they mentioned him as a potential MVP candidate. Now, I don't think he's obviously going to threaten for that honor, but it's quite the mention. So I think he's off to a fantastic start. Another guy, with, you know, a couple other guys I throw into the mix is, you mentioned Brian Arakpo, but I've been more impressed with rookie pass rusher Harold Landry, who they got in the second round at 41st overall somehow. He's been, you know, he's hit the ground running, causing a ton of havoc in the pocket, creating a ton of pressures. He's been credited for a ton of pressures, that is. Finally kind of came together last weekend against Philly, where he recorded his first career sack. It was a strip sack as well, excuse me. That was a big play where the Titans needed it in a major way, kind of helped catapult the comeback in Philadelphia territory as well. I believe it was on the 30-yard line. So he's off to a fantastic start. Another guy flying under the radar a little bit is second-year linebacker Jayon Brown out of UCLA. Okay. His kid's playing incredible. I mean, he's really had to pick up the slack. Rashawn Evans, first-round pick, hasn't really hit the ground running, you know, missed a lot of the summer with injury. So Brown's been seeing more snaps than anticipated. And Wesley Woodyard also got dinged up in the last game. Not sure if he's going to be ready to go Sunday for Buffalo, but Brown's had to pick up a lot of the slack, and he's been fantastic. He's a guy who's more of a cover guy, excellent in coverage, but he's also an underrated blitzer to get to the quarterback in a hurry. So defense is playing at a really high level right now, and I expect him to have another good performance on Sunday.
Yeah, and especially you mentioned there the not allowing opponents in the first quarter to get going. And other than the Minnesota game, the Bills in the first quarter, their offense has been, going backwards even. It's been that bad for them. So I think the start of this game is important. And also McCoy is a player that the Bills are trying to get the ball to. And I think the Titans know that. And the Bills are kind of at a disadvantage with, you know, them obviously thinking that the Bills are going to try to get him the ball. He's really their only playmaker thus far on their team that they can really rely on. Kelvin Benjamin's been not producing. Zay Jones hasn't busted out yet. So the Bills are lacking weapons, and if they're keying on McCoy, I think it's going to be a long day for Buffalo. Let's jump to the offense and talk about Mariota for a second. I think, you know, his career has kind of been I don't want to say up and down. It's trajected, I think, on a nice pace, but I think probably Titans fans are hoping for a little bit more. And his AFC player, Offensive Player of the Week, accolades last week were probably an encouraging sign. Obviously, he had the injury, and Gabbert was in there early in the season, as you mentioned. Just where are the fans with Mariota, and was last week's performance giving them just that much more confidence going into this ballgame?
Yeah, I think last week's performance was huge for him. You know, it was actually, you know, people are, you know, don't really realize it was his first full game in this new offense. And expectations are really high to see him in this offense because, as you mentioned, the trajectory last year was a bit of a step back for him, especially statistically. And a lot of people credited that to the offense being a bit of a lame, old-fashioned scheme that Mike Mularkey and offensive coordinator Terry Robiskie ran. Obviously, Robiskie now in Buffalo is the wide receivers coach. So under this new staff, expectations were really high coming into this season. You know, suffered the injury against Miami, didn't play against Houston, played most of the game against Jacksonville, but was obviously limited. So this recent game against Philadelphia being the first game where he looked to be at full health and played the entire game in this offense, he really, really flourished. Looked like he was ready to handle everything that offensive coordinator Matt LaFleur is throwing at him. So very, very impressive performance on the weekend. You know, right five, it was 346 passing yards and another 50 rushing yards as well, three total touchdowns. So he counted for 400 total yards himself. So it was really a great performance, one of the best of his young career. And Titans fans are excited. This is what they've been waiting to see. Ever since they hired, you know, got rid of Robiskie and hired LaFleur, expectations were really high for this offense. They knew that last year, the talent was there, but the scheme didn't seem to fit, the role players at all. So the expectations were really high for this year, and what we saw against Philadelphia is kind of what people have been hoping to see. So it's got to continue this weekend in Buffalo.
And what about the running back kind of carousel there? I mean, you have Derrick Henry, probably not happy with kind of his slow start, I think, to this year, and kind of feeling the same frustrations maybe to a little bit lesser degree than McCoy, but still frustrated. Does Mariota have a stable of backs behind him that he can hopefully rely on going forward here?
Well, there's no doubt that there's talent in the backfield, Jeremy. You know, with Derrick Henry and Deion Lewis, so they're two extremely talented guys whose skill sets complement each other well. You know, they're two very different players. But you're absolutely right. The ground game has not gotten going at all. Been certainly the most disappointing factor of the offense so far. Henry just simply hasn't gotten it going. And I'm not going to put the blame solely on him. I think it's a combination of things. You know, I think he can probably, you know, play a little bit better, and I'm sure he'd tell you the same. But I think the offensive line, especially the interior, has sort of struggled in the run game as well. You know, left guard Josh Klein, right guard Quentin Spain, and center Ben Jones. I don't think they've quite hit the ground running like they would have hoped. And with that said, I don't really think it's an issue of skill. I think it's been more of them sort of still grasping the scheme. When I've been reviewing the offense, I've noticed a couple of plays where, a run play may have failed, not because, you know, they got overpowered by a guy or they got beat by a guy, but it simply seems to be more of a mental breakdown thing than anything. So I think it's still sort of a work in progress on all fronts on the ground game with Henry. And, you know, I think Deion Lewis would tell you the same. You know, last week he was instrumental in the win over Philadelphia, but it wasn't because of what he did on the ground. He actually rushed for 0 yards on a number of carries. He finished with 0 yards, but he made a big he had a big contribution in the passing game, and that's the reason they paid him the money that they did. They knew, you know, he's a bit of a dual set guy. He can run the ball, but he's a great receiver as well. So that's where he's made his contributions thus far. But You're right. The ground game really hasn't gotten going. It's a work in progress, and you know Buffalo is poorly as they've played for a couple of the games this year. I think the run defense has been pretty solid from what I've reviewed. So this may not be the game that the Titans get the run game going. I'm sure they would like it to be, and I expect that to be a focus for them early on. But the Bills' run defense is a sneaky good matchup in Buffalo's favor.
What's the approach kind of going in for Vrabel, and what has he said, I guess, to the media here early this week facing the Bills? Is it something that you mentioned before, trying to avoid that trap, you know, game, as you're calling it, just trying to respect the opponent? Because you do have kind of one team surging forward here in the Titans and the Bills kind of floundering, even after the Minnesota win. Last week's performance, especially on offense, was pretty abysmal. So just kind of the approach and mindset of the Titans as they go into this matchup. What do you expect them to do strategically? And what do you think are they trying not to overlook the Bills here?
Well, I think, you know, strategically, seeing the offense take off last week the way it did, what they want is going to be a continuation of that, right? They want to see Mariota string together another good game, keep him healthy, keep him upright in the pocket, and have another multi-touchdown performance out of him. Regarding the message from Vrabel, it's been consistent throughout all 4 weeks, which is respect your opponent, be aggressive, play hard and fast for 60 minutes. That's really the key here. Like you said, don't overlook your opponent. I think the Titans will have looked to that Vikings game and said, look, if you don't want to take these guys seriously, look what can happen to you. You know, Minnesota, you know, for all we know, showed up there thinking this was going to be a walk in the park, and they got punched in the mouth. You know, they got dominated in that game from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good warning to the rest of the league. I think that's a good warning to the Titans that you can't just show, you know, regardless of what happened in those Bills games with the Ravens and the Chargers, you can't just show up and expect to win. You know, it's still an NFL opponent. These guys still play at a high level. You're going to have to, you have to do more than show up. You got to play hard. You got to play fast. You got to remain aggressive for 60 minutes. Again, you know, I can't stress enough how big of a game this is for the Titans. Like, you know, it may not seem like that on the surface, as you said, a team that's really surging forward, getting the national respect at three and one, you know, coming off three straight victories, obviously, two of which were very impressive, as we mentioned, over the Jags and the Eagles. But I tell you right now, Jeremy, if they lose this game, the narrative switches right back. It goes right back to, you know what, never mind, these are the same old Titans. I regret that I bought in over these last 3 weeks. I'm not going to believe that this team is for real. So this game, it's such a big game for them. They have to avoid the trap game. You can see it coming a mile away, right? As I mentioned, coming off that emotional win over the defending champions. You have to take the Bills seriously. If you Taylor Lewan after the game against Philadelphia, the win, you know, he pleaded nationally for more respect. He said, there's not 31 teams in the NFL. There are 32, and people better start recognizing what we're doing down here. Well, again, if that message is going to remain consistent, you have to win this game, and you have to win it convincingly. You can't go out and win this game 13-10. You know, because despite it putting the fourth win in the W column and going to 4-1, people will say, "Yeah, I'm not so sure about that." That's what happened last year. You know, they went 9-7. They made the playoffs. But why didn't they get more respect? Because they barely beat the Browns. They barely beat the Bengals. They barely beat the Ravens, who weren't playing very well at the time. They lost three in a row to San Fran and San Fran, Arizona, and the Rams. Despite making the playoff, they didn't buy in because the results weren't convincing. So this is the week where they got to go out and say, you know what, we're for real now, and this is who we are.
And just to wrap it up, you might have mentioned this a little bit earlier too with some of the guys, but just injury report for the Titans. Anybody of note that you just want to review again and let everyone in our audience know about?
Well, Delanie Walker, tight end, obviously out for the season with that fractured ankle he suffered week one against Miami. Right. Corey Davis practiced today. He was absent yesterday, but he practiced today, so expecting him to be full go. I think the big question mark is really Wesley Woodyard. He suffered an injury in last week's game against Philadelphia, and he did not return. So he's sort of the question mark right now. Another guy who's going to be missing is starting safety Kenny Vaccaro. He won't be playing in this game. Dislocated his elbow last week, and he's facing a 2 to 4 week recovery. So in terms of starting players go, you're looking at Woodyard and Vaccaro on the defense. And those are two important players. They've been very good so far this season. So Titans will miss them on Sunday, but if they can't go. I know Vaccaro can't, Woodyard's questionable, but probably look for veteran journeyman Kendrick Lewis to get the majority of the snaps in Vaccaro's absence. Might see a little bit of a rookie Dane Cruikshank as well, but I imagine Lewis will handle about 75% of the snaps. And if Woodyard can't go, it goes back to me mentioning Jayon Brown playing really well, so he'll probably play 100% of the snaps if Woodyard can't go. Rookie first-round pick Rashawn Evans will be relied on more than he has been throughout these first 4 weeks, again, in Woodyard's absence. And another guy will be Will Compton, linebacker they signed from Washington, who's more of a thumper, can play coverage occasionally, but he's more of a run thumper, so expect to see quite a bit of him as well on Sunday.
Yeah, Bills fans should know him well. He was kind of making a visit with the Bills before he signed with the Titans, and then the Bills opted to obviously draft Tremaine Edmonds in the first round, but it was a free agent visit that a lot of Bills fans know, and a name that Bills fans know. So Will Compton's a good name to keep an eye on. Thanks, Justin, for doing this. Enjoy the game on Sunday, and we'll talk to you soon.
It was my pleasure, Jeremy. Enjoy the game Sunday, and thanks for having me.